Need your daily fix on mixed martial arts?
We're going to kind of recap Bellator 155.
From UFC 198.
Who's who?
Kind of a controversial decision.
And who's not?
I couldn't figure out why, and then it hit me.
Well, don't you fret, because Golden State Media Concepts got you covered. Get your daily dose of MMA podcast. Everything from the UFC, Bellator Fighting Championships, Extreme Cage Fighting, Invicta Fighting Championships, and so much more. Join us as we talk about some of the biggest names in mixed martial arts. We've got you covered here on Golden State Media Concepts MMA Podcast.
All right, now, thank you for tuning in to the GSMC MMA podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I'm your host, Tate, and we are still talking about the crazy week surrounding UFC 223. And it's crazy, but it's like this weekend will not end. It just keeps extending out. Just to recap, as I know everyone has kind of knows, started out with the fight between Khabib Nurmagomedov versus Tony Ferguson, a fight that everyone's been looking forward to seeing. They've been scheduled to fight four different times, and by various different reasons, it just doesn't happen. Tony Ferguson's walking across the stage at a press event, and he trips on a cable, and he blows out his knee, has to have surgery. That fight is canceled. They bring in Max Holloway, and everyone's excited about Khabib versus Max Holloway, and I was one of those people that was super excited about the possibility of seeing Khabib versus a very fast, very active fighter, a champion, and Max Holloway. And you get to the right before the weigh-in, and he is declared unfit to compete, and is not allowed to drop any more weight. It comes out that it's going to be Anthony Pettis. And everyone's thinking, I was thinking it was Anthony Pettis versus Khabib, and Anthony Pettis can't make it. Eventually, we settle on Al Aliquinta, who is a really good fighter, a really game fighter, and that's who Khabib's going to, you know, fight for the lightweight title against, in which I don't need to recap that. We've already recapped that fight, but Khabib actually wins a unanimous decision on that would between him and Al Aliquinta. Other things that kind of go on during this time, which has been the big news, is in between all this crazy stuff that is going on, as far as trying to figure out Khabib versus Ferguson, Khabib versus Max Holloway, Khabib versus Anthony Pettis, settling on Khabib versus Al Aliquinta. In between all of that, earlier in the week, Khabib gets into a altercation with Artem Lobov, and a good friend of Conor McGregor. Lobov's supposed to be fighting on the card on UFC 223. He puts in a call to Conor McGregor. Conor McGregor gets on a plane from Ireland, rents a plane, flies across country, not cross country, from Europe to the United States, lands with like 20 of his friends, and they attack a UFC bus that Conor McGregor, that Khabib is actually on. Things get a little out of hand. Conor throws a dolly through the window. The window shatters, injuring Michael Chiesa, and a number of other fighters. They end up having to cancel some fights. Crazy situation. long story short, there's a warrant out for Conor McGregor's arrest. Eventually, Conor McGregor turns himself in. Conor McGregor gets arraigned. He is facing charges for 3 misdemeanor assault charges and a felony mayhem charge. Could be facing as much as 10 years in prison. The crazy thing when people are covering this, everyone really thinks Conor's going to get a slap on the wrist. I don't know about that. That is a big concern of mine. Conor is, from everything I know about Conor, Conor is not a bad guy, but he is facing some serious time, and everyone thinks he's just going to get sued, and that's going to be it. This is the same New York that sent Plexico Burress to Leavenworth Prison for shooting his own self in the leg. Don't count out that Conor McGregor could end up serving some time. A lot of people think he's just going to get, you know, probation. But, you know, there's a situation where, you know, it was premeditated. It takes to get to the U.S., to rent a plane, get everyone together, clear customs, fly across the Atlantic, get on the tarmac, get off. It takes like 10, 12 hours to pull this off. When sitting down and talking, you know, when a judge starts looking at this case and looking at this situation, that's going to come into account, the fact that there was hours and hours of time for him to think about his actions before he did it, before he attacked that bus and injured a UFC official, injured Michael Chiesa. There was plenty of time for cooler heads to prevail here. And I think that's going to affect Conor. I think he's going to get a little time. I don't think he's going to get years in prison. He's facing 10 years. I think he's going to end up, you know, I think they're going to give him like, you know, a couple years probation. And don't be surprised if Conor don't spend at least a few months in jail. I truly think that's going to happen. I think I'm the only one that thinks that. But, I remember when Plexico Burress shot his own self in the leg. I didn't think he would serve any time. And he served over a year in prison. This could easily happen to Conor McGregor. Now, that's the situation with Conor. The next thing that goes on is, you know, this week is still going on. And you have a situation, you know, you have WrestleMania where Ronda Rousey actually has her first WWE event. I thought she did a really great job, as I've mentioned in a previous episode. Brock Lesnar looked amazing. And everyone's thinking, finally, the craziest week in combat sports is over. UFC 223 is behind us. Everything is fine. Then there's the whole situation. All of a sudden, what pops up is, during the fight between Khabib and Al Aliquinta, a lot of people were expecting Khabib to just run through Al. And I wasn't. Al is a very heavy-handed, tough fighter. And Khabib is literally taking that fight on one day's notice. Everyone just says Al is fighting Khabib in one day notice. But it's also one day notice for Khabib. Khabib fought the first two rounds, he fought a very aggressive fight where he used a lot of his ground and pound. And I didn't think, it was a point where I didn't think Al could make it out of there. But Khabib, I personally thought, did the smart thing in the third round. He started standing up and he started using his boxing. At the pace that Khabib was going, Khabib was smart to make that change to more of a boxing approach because he just didn't want to burn himself out. by just by spending so much energy trying to get Al down, ground and pounding. It not only does it take a lot out of Al Aliquinta, but it also takes a lot out of Khabib. Khabib, this is his first time going in a 5-round fight, so I thought it was really smart to go to more of a stand up style. And there was a lot of criticism by the announce team. Joe Rogan was talking about how there was holes in Khabib's game that has been exposed by Al Aliquinta. And Khabib's coach and trainer, Javier Mendez, took offense to that and did not agree with Joe Rogan, thought Joe Rogan was out of line but to some of the comments that he made. I don't disagree with Joe or anything. I think that was Joe's point of view. But they were talking about how Mendez was just talking about how Khabib is always improving and always advancing his game. And so one of the things that he was doing was, one, he was working on, can he, how is it going to feel to go the distance and go 5 rounds? Because he is now the champ and he has to get used to working 5 rounds. So I thought it was super smart that he did go the distance in a much less dangerous fighter than a Conor McGregor or a Tony Ferguson or even a Kevin Lee. So he was able to test if he could go the distance. He was able to test his boxing game out and show his jab and show fighting as a southpaw. He was actually throwing kicks. He was actually able to, I hate to call Al Aliquinta more of a sparring partner, but Khabib was able to test a lot of his skills in real time in a situation where against a top flight fighter where he wasn't as much danger as he would be in if he was testing himself against a Conor McGregor or a Tony Ferguson. So, he was doing a lot of things that he was kind of out of character, and it didn't look like the normal Khabib, which hence the reason why guys like Joe Rogan, they were thinking that he just didn't look quite the same, because he didn't look the same. And it's not that Al Aliquinta had exposed him or anything. It was just that Khabib was working on his game. Joe Rogan apologized to Javier Mendez and Khabib for his comments. But that was the next thing that kind of popped up. You roll into the press conference and everyone is expecting Khabib to call out Conor McGregor. But Khabib did not call out Conor McGregor. He called out George St. Pierre. And I think that's super smart. I agree with him. He's saying that his legacy is more important to him than money. If he wants money, Conor McGregor is the fight to go for. But if you want legacy, what's bigger than him fighting one of his childhood heroes? Or it's not necessarily, you could say one of his childhood heroes, and George St. Pierre, a two-weight champion, George St. Pierre, could arguably the greatest of all time, in which George could actually fight for a third UFC title in a third different weight class, and Khabib is able to test himself against the greatest, one of the greatest of all time. I think it was super smart. A lot of people was a little shocked on that one. But when you really look at the landscape of that division right now, because of this event, a vacuum has been created and this perfect vacuum has sucked in George St. Pierre. If you look at it, Conor McGregor, because of him having the fight with the bus, he has legal issues. He's going to be tied up in court. He's going to be spending a lot of money in court. The whole concept that Conor was going to fight in September, I no longer think that's an option. So I don't think Conor, with Conor's legal issues, with Conor possibly getting suspended by the UFC, I think you can pretty much take Conor off the docket as far as possible fights for 2018. you look at the next guy, which is Tony Ferguson. Tony Ferguson just had surgery on his knee. That takes him off the docket for 2018. You look around and you say, do you put Kevin Lee in there? Who do you put in as Khabib's first title defense? And the biggest fight you could have is literally Khabib versus GSP. I would love to see it. Talk about, and you're in the world where the UFC is trying to make super fights. That could be the biggest fight. That is, without question, the biggest fight you could put together for 2018 if Conor McGregor is not back on the whole roster. Khabib versus GSP is the biggest fight you can have. So I actually like that. I do not poo-poo it and say it is not an option. If Khabib wants it and GSP wants it, the UFC will want that fight and they will make that happen. Now, the last part of this week deals with Floyd Money Mayweather. When we come back, we're going to talk about what happened with Floyd Mayweather and a shootout situation that happened on Monday. That, you know, and I know Floyd's not necessarily a UFC fighter, but he is a big part of the UFC world right now because of his possibility of fighting, coming to the UFC. So he becomes part of this weekend. When we come back, we're going to talk about that Floyd Mayweather situation. Stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Check out the show built around the women of MMA. From the UFC to the extreme cage fighting, we got the fights covered.
Listen.
It's the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast. The latest news of upcoming fights, discussions of previous matches. Join us as we talk to and about the biggest names in women's mixed martial arts, past, present, and future. When it's the women's fight game, you know where to listen to. The Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast.
All right, we're back, and we just got done talking about the crazy week that was the weekend of UFC 223, all the crazy stuff that happened with Khabib and Tony Ferguson, Conor McGregor, all the different fights that was scheduled for to fight Khabib that didn't happen, and all the things that happened. And now to close out this week, we even talked about a little bit of WrestleMania and how Ronda Rousey looked. I thought she looked amazing. So did Brock Lesnar. And also, one of the things is about, you know, one of the things that I forgot to talk about is the fact that Brock Lesnar looked amazing. But one of the things at WrestleMania that I was most shocked about was the fact that he kept the title. And I didn't understand, because I'm looking at things and I'm like, Conor, meaning that Brock Lesnar is supposed to be going back to the UFC. And so I was totally expecting him to drop the title during WrestleMania, and it didn't happen. Well, turns out there's a little surprise. Brock Lesnar signed on Monday to stay in the WWE. So as far as I know, unless the WWE is willing to rent him out to the UFC, Brock Lesnar coming to the UFC is now a null and void. Brock Lesnar is going to stay in the WWE. So that was one thing that was a big shocker on Monday. The other big shocker on Monday is that Floyd Mayweather was in Atlanta for a fight card, because he does Floyd Promotions, and he had a big triple header boxing match and things like that. And Floyd and his entourage, Team Mayweather, they're coming back from a club at 3:00 in the morning. And one of the things, you know, and one of the things when you know about Floyd is Floyd carries a large entourage, a lot of money, a lot of jewels. And they're driving down the street and on their way back to the hotel, and a car pulls up beside them and starts shooting at the caravan of three cars with Floyd Mayweather. They start shooting at the car. One of Floyd's bodyguards gets hit. He gets shot in the leg. Apparently, there was a third car, another car that came in and was following them. Floyd and the rest of the guys had to get away. Eventually, they ended up losing the car that was shooting at them and the other car. They were able to get their get the bodyguard to the hospital where he received treatment. And the police are now investigating the shooting. And Floyd was in no danger. Floyd was in the car in the front. They end up attacking the car in the middle. And so, which makes it even more of a crazy, crazy week. I'm surprised. I mean, I don't condone what has happened with someone attacking Floyd and his group. But it's one of those things where you have to be careful when you're traveling with that many people, and you're known to carry so much money. When you have the persona of being Team Money, and you carry money and jewels and cash, you are going to be a target. Doesn't make it right, but you are going to be a target, and things like that will happen. Hence the reason why Floyd carries around such a large entourage. If you're going to carry that kind of cash, you got to carry a big entourage. Thank goodness that this was an unsuccessful attempt at getting to Floyd. And with the police right now, they don't really know. It's kind of, there's no really word out if it was like a situation where they were trying to shoot that bodyguard, if there was some type of, you know, controversial, some type of issue between the bodyguard or the people in that car, or if they were trying to rob Floyd. That part we do not know, but we do know that this weekend, on Monday, that Floyd and his group was attacked. And it looks like everyone's going to walk out of there except for one bodyguard who got shot in the leg, and it doesn't seem like it's going to be life-threatening. So we're wishing him a speedy recovery. But you just have to be careful on where you go when you're carrying that kind of cash, because it's one of those things that could be a dangerous situation. Now, speaking of Floyd and speaking of Connor, going back to this past crazy weekend, and a lot of people think that this whole this Conor McGregor attacking the bus, the UFC bus, really ends the talk of Floyd versus Conor McGregor. And I say no. I think this actually boosts. This is the publicity that will really make this fight even more of an attractive situation. I think, especially with the fact that Conor could be in a situation where he needs money, because he's going to get sued by a number of people that were on that bus, not to mention the company that owned the bus. He has a lot of legal fees. He's going to spend a big chunk of that money defending himself in lawsuits and legal issues. You have a fight just sitting there that's gonna be worth another $100, $150, maybe $200 million for Conor McGregor, and you know, $300, $400, $500 million for Floyd, another guy who spends a lot of money. This situation, I think, almost guarantees a Floyd Conor McGregor fight as far as the octagon goes. Once upon a time, I didn't think this fight would actually happen. But now when I look at it, I think it is a definite possibility that it's going to happen. Both guys are more than happy to get the money. Want to get the money. I think it's something that could happen here. Now, that's my take on as far as Floyd goes and all the updates, what's going on with Floyd. Another fight that we talked about yesterday in our last episode, we talked about the Rose Namajunas versus Joanna Jędrzejczyk fight. And I made no bones about the fact that when I watched the fight, I thought there was a lot of very close rounds, but I gave pretty much all the rounds to Joanna Jędrzejczyk. And I listened to a lot of MMA media that I really respect, and most of the media disagreed with me. Most of the media believes that Rose won. The judges got everything right. There was some that agreed with me that Joanna won, but most agreed with the judges. So, you know, it looks, you know, I respect a lot of people that I respect really thought Rose won. So I guess it's one of those situations where you look at it's looked at it, I guess, how you what you like in fighting. I personally thought that Joanna Joanna dictated the pace and had a lot more combinations, threw a lot more power shots. But Rose definitely threw the more dangerous shots, the more scarier shots. And I think that's kind of what everyone was looking at. In the end, we have and still the new strawweight champion is now the defending champion, Rose Namajunas. And we're talking around about who's next. And Jessica Andrade is sitting there. And I think that's going to be the next fight that's going to come up is Jessica Andrade. Karolina Kovacevic is is another option. And then if Carla Esparza versus, cannot think of her name right now, but Carla Esparza is actually Claudia Gadelha. And the winner of the Claudia Gadelha-Carla Esparza fight, they're also going to be in the mix. The question is, with Joanna Jędrzejczyk losing twice to Rose, should she move up and wait? And I say no. Joanna Jędrzejczyk could be right back in the mix again for a title shot, because when you look at, Carla Esparza, Jessica Andrade, Karolina Kovacevic, these are all Claudia Gadelha. These are all guys who are able to take the title from anyone in that division. These are some of the best fighters. This is the most stacked division of all the divisions in my book. I think there's a lot more to play on who's going to end up when the smoke clears, who's going to be the new champion, or who's going to be the champion in that division. Because Rose is going to have to run a gauntlet, the same gauntlet that Joanna ran, where she beat Claudia Gadelha twice. She beat Jessica Andrade. She beat Karolina Kovacevic. Well, and she beat Carla Esparza. Now Rose is going to have to run that same gauntlet. And if Rose slips up, Joanna is right back in this mix. So do not count out Joanna Jędrzejczyk in this division right now. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the latest news when it comes to one of the Diaz brothers. Stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
This is your ultimate stop for everything sports. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Should I say more? From the NFL, MLB, the NBA, to MMA, it's all in here. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Listen now.
All right. And we're back. And a bit of news came out on Monday. There was a lot of things broke on Monday, from Brock Lesnar still staying in the WWE, the Floyd Mayweather situation. But another bit of news came out on Monday that kind of surprised me as well. And it dealt with the former Strikeforce welterweight champion, Pride of Stockton, California, Nick Diaz. Not Nate Diaz, Nick Diaz. He has accepted an agreement with USADA to accept a one-year sanction for failure to appear for his USADA testing. So it's the rule is the UFC whereabout policy, where you have to let USADA know exactly where you're going to be at so that they can test you at any time. And there was three different situations where Nick Diaz did not report where he was at, which ended up giving him suspended. They agreed to a suspension, retroactive suspension, so going back to April 19th of 2017. And so that means now that on April 19th of this month, with this agreement, Nick Diaz is now eligible to come back and fight in the UFC. That is huge. The UFC started out this year, you know, with Ronda Rousey gone, John Jones suspended, Brock Lesnar gone. And now you look around and you look at this year and you have a possible situation where you have possible Conor versus Nate Diaz. You have a situation where you got Stipe versus Daniel Cormier. You have the Floyd Mayweather possibility. You got Khabib as a big star. The UFC is starting to do a good job at bringing some big stars in, or retreading some of the stars that they have as they build up to get ready for their new television contract. And having Nick Diaz come in and be able to fight back in the UFC, that is a big feather in the UFC's cap. Do not be surprised if you do not see a situation where Tyron Woodley ends up being a situation where he's fighting. He's not, you know, right now it looks like it was going to be RDA versus Kobe Covington for the interim title. And you were going to have Tyron Woodley fight the winner of that one. Do not be shocked if Nick Diaz does not slide in there some way and be a part of that title picture. Because I don't see Nick Diaz. Like, I saw a thing where Platinum Mike Perry has called out Nick Diaz as a possible opponent. I love Platinum Mike Perry, but he is not a big enough name. The UFC is going to put Nick Diaz in the ring with someone that is going to have drawing power. They need to show that they can pull the ratings, and he is a big draw. He's the biggest draw of the Diaz brothers. Nate's a draw, but not like Nick. And I think that's a big situation, especially with losing. It seems like the UFC might have lost out on Brock Lesnar. So being able to come in and make the announcement that Nick Diaz is coming back and can fight as early as April 19th makes a difference. I'm curious to see how that works out, because, you know, it really makes an interesting situation. It also makes a possibility, you know, I don't know where Nick's weight is, but don't be surprised. Maybe Khabib, this is my speculation. Not, I haven't heard anything, haven't seen anything, but a Khabib Nick Diaz fight or something along those lines. It's going to be very interesting to see over the next few days, the next few weeks, what the UFC has planned for Nick Diaz. With that, I just wanted to jump on here to go over kind of the things that went about over this past Monday with Floyd Mayweather, Nick Diaz, Brock Lesnar, just to keep everyone informed. And we'll be trying to do a lot more of these episodes There's been a lot of stuff that's been going on, which hasn't, I haven't been given as many episodes as I should, but it is good to be on here, and we will try to keep you guys informed. And with that, to all, a good night.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts MMA Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. From movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.